week, as you saw on the sign that's the bulletin board out there, it says repent, right? And gotta stop the wrong. At the end of the day, whatever is wrong, you just have to stop it. You have to have a mind to want to stop it. Because that's the thing that is going to keep you from going back with Jesus when he comes. So let's go over to the book of Matthew. Now, we talked about John the Baptist last week. John the Baptist was the forerunner. And the purpose of the role of the forerunner was to go before Jesus and to prepare the way for the Lord. And the forerunner's message is the same message that we, the saints, preach, or we, the saints, share, we, the saints, witness about, that Jesus is coming, and you want to be ready when he comes. Yes. Now, John's message, the purpose was to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus. Yes. And John, in Matthew chapter number 3, says in those days, 3:1, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse number 3 says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight. And then it goes down in verse 4, describes to you what John looked like. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So with repentance comes confession. Now, remember what I told you all before. Many people have been made to believe that confession is all salvation is. In other words, that if I confess my sins, that's it. I'm saved because I confess. But remember, what was John's message? John's message was a message of what? Repentance. So confession is a part of repentance. It is not all of salvation. It is just a part of repentance. So even when you go over to Romans chapter number 10, now this is where you'll see most people will quote when they tell a person that they need to be saved. And you'll see this many times on the television. You'll see it on tracks. I got two tracks on my desk right now where someone was passing them out, and the track had a prayer on it. And I showed you all that card before, and it says, if you pray this prayer, and it told you the prayer to pray is in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. Verse number 9 says what?
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe
in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that's the prayer that people quote for salvation. They say, if I say this, I'm saved. But first of all, that's not true, because again, John also preached confession. He said that he told him to do what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It said many people from all about the region came to John and were baptized in the river of Jordan. And why were they baptized? And they were there confessing or acknowledging their sin. So confession goes along with repentance. But that does not erase what Jesus told John or Nicodemus in the book of John. He told Nicodemus that you had to be born of both what? Water and spirit. Now, a person can't do that if he does not acknowledge the need for it. So why would I even, you think about, why would Jesus push baptism in his name and push receiving the Holy Ghost if a person is still rejecting who Jesus is? You can't even get to that point of baptism until you first are willing to acknowledge that you have a problem. Why am I going to go down in the water in Jesus' name if I don't think I have to get rid of my sin? If I think I'm okay, why would I go down in the water? Why would I even get on my knees and call on Jesus if I think I'm already saved? So that's why confession is so important. First, you got to acknowledge, first of all, that you are a sinner, that you have been born in the state or the condition of sin. You need to know, where did sin come from? Sin came from Adam. Say, well, how did it get to me? Because Adam was my mom. My Adam was my daddy. Eve was my mother. They were the first parents of the human race. And as a result of Adam and Eve's transgression, according to the scripture, sin passed on everybody after them. You go over to Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12. I quote it all the time. You should be able to say it. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore, as by one man, we know who that one man is. It's Adam. Adam and his wife Eve. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And sin did not come by itself. Because Jesus told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of that fruit, thou shalt do what? Surely death. So along with sin came death. That's why Romans is so right when it says that the wage of sin or the payment for sin is death. So when Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. Therefore, death passed upon who? Oh, that's right. Now, you in the world of trouble if you don't understand that. Right. If you don't understand that you're born in sin, and as a result of you being born in sin, you are on the path of death. You're not on the path of life. Not when you're in your sin, you're on the path of death. That's why getting off that path is so important. That's why you got to say within your mind, you cannot be satisfied until you get your soul born again. Why? Because if you're not born again, you are on the path that leads to death. The wage of sin is death. Death and hell are going to be cast into the what? The lake of fire, right? That's the truth. You want to get off of that path. If I were you and you were me and we both have common sense, we would want to get off the path of death. We wouldn't want to stay on that path. Not when Jesus has made a way for us to live. He say, I am come that you might have what? Now you can't even tap into that until you see you have a problem. The human has got to realize that they have a problem. And the problem that they have is sin. Sin is the problem of the human race. That's why it was important for John to get the message across that the people needed to do what? Repent. Right? Repent means to do what? Stop the wrong. Huh? That's the truth. And you say, well, Discutter, did anybody listen to John? Look at Matthew. Matthew says a lot of people listen to John. Right. You and I aren't the only ones that heard the message. Right. And you and I won't be the only ones that hear it in the end. Somewhere, somebody is listening to the same thing that you're listening to and has been listening to it over and over again. Yet they hear it and they go back out there and keep on sinning. Right. And you have to say within yourself, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with your mind? If I'm telling you that sin wage is death, and you keep going out there doing things you know Jesus tells you not to do, something is wrong with your mind. Your mind ain't right. Your mind is not clear. Because if your mind was clear, you would have a mind to do what? Stop it. That's the truth. You'd have a mind to bring an end to sin. You would have a mind to say, I refuse to let sin take advantage in my life. Why? Because I know that all sin has to offer me is death. And I don't want to die. Do you realize you're telling Jesus it's okay for you to die when you don't have a mind to get out of your sin? If you, when you got a mind to get out of sin, you got a mind to say, I don't want to die. But when you say, it's all right. I don't, all that stuff you're talking about, getting out of sin, it'll be okay after a while. You're telling Jesus, you don't mind dying in your sin. And it's, the earth is full of people that think that way. Earth is full of people that think it is okay to die in their sin. That's how you say, Elder Scudder, how can you say a thing like that? Because the scripture specifically says that hell is enlarging herself. She is opening up her mouth without measure. One scripture in Matthew chapter number 7, 13 and 14. Someone go over there and quote that, read that for me. That's one of you all verses to remember. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate. And broad is the way. That's truth. And many, you see that? Many people are going in that path. So the path of death, many people are going down that path. But when the Lord gave you a mind to get on that straight and narrow way, you are blessed. You're blessed. But the only way you can get on that way is you got to first acknowledge that you are a sinner. And you've got to acknowledge that the things that you are doing are wrong. The things that you are doing are not acceptable to Jesus. And at the end of the day, whose sight are you striving to be acceptable in? I'm trying to be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. I'm trying to be make Jesus happy with what he sees. One writer said that you might do the things that are pleasing in his sight, not the sight of man, in Jesus' sight. Man will never be satisfied with what you do, but Jesus will be happy when he sees you cling to righteousness. Do the things that are right and pleasing in his sight. Enoch, before he was translated, he had the testimony that he pleased God. So it's possible to please Jesus. But the only way you can do that is you've got to have a mind to stop sinning, right? You've got to have a mind to stop sinning. You've got to realize sin is ruining you. Sin is corrupting you. Sin is defiling you. Sin is making you dirty. I don't care how many showers you take. I don't care how many times you clean your clothes. Sin is still on you, huh? The stain of sin is infecting your soul, huh? Come on, and soap can't clean your soul, huh? Detergent can't clean your soul. A blood transfusion cannot clean your soul. Nothing can wash away sin but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the only cure, the only remedy for the infection of sin. That's why he says, she shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. Yes. And Jesus shall do what? Save. Yes. That let me know Jesus is the only Savior in earth. Yes. That's why you got to be very careful to all of these religions and teachings that talk about Jesus but don't give you the plan of salvation. They talk about what Jesus had done, but it doesn't give you the plan. Well, because without the plan, you can't get off the path of death. So you can talk about Jesus and still be on the path of death. Come on, go over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number, what is that where it says strive to enter in at that straight gate? Luke chapter number 13, 13 and 22. Start there. Yes, yes, teaching, towards Jerusalem. Now, don't take that light. Don't take that comment and that exchange light. Because notice, first of all, what was Jesus doing? He was going through the cities.
Right.
He was going through villages.
Right.
Teaching, journeying towards Jerusalem.
Right.
So if you know anything, we live in a city. Philadelphia is full of people.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the people you passed today.
Right.
On your journey just towards your Jerusalem. What was your Jerusalem? The church.
Right.
Think about all the people you passed today on the way to church. And think, out of all those people you pass, who is really saved? Who really got a mind to want to be saved? I see a whole lot of people choosing to stay on the path of death.
Right.
That's the truth. You say, Elder Scudder, how do you know they're choosing to stay on the path of death? Because they're not following me.
Right.
I'm on the path to life. And many people know where you're going. Think about all the neighbors that live beside you, that know your pattern. They know where you are going. They see you when you're going. Yet they don't have a mind to say, I want to go with you. So that's letting you know they are choosing to stay on the path of death. That's why it makes real good sense when Jesus is telling you to strive to enter in at that straight gate. Huh? Because many people are going to try to get in. Going to try to get in what? According to John chapter number 10 and verse number 1, they're going to try to get in another kind of way. But the scripture says if you try to come in to the sheepfold any other way but by the door, you are a thief and a robber. Jesus says, I am the door, right? That's the truth. So you thank the Lord you got a mind to come in by Jesus. And when you come in by Jesus, the first thing he's telling you when you want to get off that path of death is to repent. He's telling you, you sinner, have got to acknowledge you are in sin. You can't go around talking about trying to classify sin. Well, I'm a sinner that understand. I'm a sinner that running for Jesus. I'm a sinner that loves Jesus. No, you're still a sinner. You need to get sin off of you. Huh? How you get sin off of you? You got to repent. You got to stop all of that wrong. Huh? Stop all that wrong. And then when you got a mind to change, you got to be baptized. How? In the water, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the name that remits sin. The scripture says you are baptized. Why? In his name, for the remission or for the removal of sin. Right? Therefore, when you go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ, the scriptures is encouraging you to come up walking in the newness of life. What do you mean in the newness of life? Have a mind to please Jesus. Please him in word. Please him in deed. Please him by the things that you say and the things that you do. Right? That's the truth. No longer do I want to be like the people that are on the path of death. But I'm on mission. I got a focus now. And what is my focus? I'm striving. According to that book of Luke, when Luke is asked, when Jesus asks a question, are there a few that are going to be saved? Look at what Jesus' response is. Strive. Huh? Y'all see that? Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, Matthew called it the straight and the narrow way. The straight gate that leads to what? To leads to life. And only a few. Y'all understand that? Only a few are going to get into the straight gate. And that's why Jesus is here telling us to do a strive to get in at the straight gate. Why? Because he say many people, I told you all that on last week, many people have sat where you sit at. Many people have tasted of this salvation. Many people have acknowledged that they are in sin and they need to get out of sin. Many people have gone down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Many people have tarried or waited, calling on the name of Jesus until they were endued with power from on high. Many people have felt Jesus come inside of them. Many people have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Many people have spoken other tongues. As Jesus gave them the ability to speak, many people walked a sanctified and lived a sanctified life. But that wasn't enough. They turned their back on Jesus. Huh? Jesus was not satisfying enough to their soul. They did not have a mind to stir up that gift. Every now and then, the saints got to stir up the gift. In other words, you got to keep the fire burning. Many people have let the fire, let the zeal burn out. They got tired of running for Jesus. In other words, they got tired of striving to get into the straight gate. They got comfortable in the seat that they were sitting in and thought they did not have to fight with the flesh no longer. And then they became a victim of the flesh. The flesh got the upper hand over them. They became overcame in the wilderness, right? This wilderness overcame them, huh? And they lost the battle. You know they lost the battle. They left Jesus. They no longer are striving, huh? You say, well, Scudder, what does it look like when you're striving? You ought to be able to testify for yourself. What does it look like to say you're striving to get in the straight gate? Don't pacify it. Don't bite your tongue. What does it look like when you are striving to get into the straight gate? Huh? It looked like I'm giving Jesus my full attention. It looked like I'm not getting sidetracked by things that don't matter. Huh? It looked like I'm running with everything inside of me. Huh? Look like I'm striving my best to stay focused on Jesus. Huh? No matter what the flesh tries to bring before me, I'm striving to stay focused on Jesus. Why? Because I got a goal. My goal is to get in at the straight gate, to go through the one door that Jesus has laid out. When he said, I am the door, I'm striving to get in that one door. Lord, so you try to get in another kind of way, you are a thief and a robber, right? Strive to get in. You move even when you're feeling bad. Huh? That's right. You move. Even when you get aches and pains. Even when your body gets tired. You still keep moving. Why? Because you're trying to prove yourself to Jesus. Prove yourself to Jesus about what? That I'm striving to get in at the straight gate. I don't want the Lord to think that I'm a part of the many that are trying to get in. No, Lord, I'm the few that mean to make it through the door. I am the few that mean to be saved, right? That's the truth. I'm the few. I'm the few. I ain't in this to play. I'm one of the few that the Lord say will be saved. Huh? Oh, yeah. I'm one of the few that have made it up my mind that I want to be ready when Jesus calls my name. I just don't want to be talking holiness, but I want to live it. Because I realize that that's the way the Lord going to judge me. Lord done told you he's preparing the throne for judgment. And he's going to judge the world in righteousness. Huh? How are you righteous? You've got to be declared righteous by his blood. Huh? You're not justified by your works, but you're justified by your faith. Faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's why I went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, because I wanted to take on his death. Not just his death, but also his resurrection, right? He said, follow me, why? Because I'm the resurrection and the life, right? That's what I'm striving my best, to stay on that straight, in that narrow way that leads to what? To life. Huh? And a whole lot of folk are not going to find it. Huh? Many will strive. Huh? Many people are going to try to get in. But the Lord said they're not going to be able. Huh? I mean, they're powerless. They ain't got the power that they need to get through the door. Don't you realize you need power to get through the door? You can't get through the door with your strength. You can't get through the door with your might. But you need the Lord's Spirit. You need the Holy Ghost abiding inside of you. The Holy Ghost is the agent that works on your behalf, that allows you the strength to get through the door. Oh, many people talking about the door, but they ain't got the power to get through the door. Oh, many people talk about going back with Jesus, but they ain't got no power. If you have no power, you can't get in, right? That's who you can't get in. You never can't get in half-stepping. You people think you're going to get in living a part-time life. Huh? Oh, yeah, we sing that song. 99 and a half is not going to do. Song say, you got to run. Song say, Lord, I'm running. Striving to make 100. Why are you trying to make 100? Because 99. Do y'all understand that? In other words, you can't get in with no 99. You got to be 100 for Jesus. In other words, sold out completely for him, right? Lord, find you on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You got to still be doing the same thing you're doing on Sunday morning. What are you doing right now? Humbly sitting at the feet of Jesus. Some folk will fall asleep, but you won't get in. Y'all understand that? You're not going to get in. The Lord's got his eyes on you. Huh? You got to strive to get into this thing. You can't half-step with Jesus. You got to be real with the Lord, right? Why? Because he's going to be real with you. Lord is going to be real with you. You got to let the Lord know, Lord, I mean to get in. Huh? I refuse to let my body hold me back. Y'all realize your body going back to the dirt. I refuse to let my body hold me back. Why? Because my soul is too important. Huh? My soul is too important. The soul is the real you, right? Soul is too important.
Huh?
You got to strive to get into this thing. Yeah, you can't tiptoe. Huh? You can't just gradually strive, move according to your own pace, do it the way you want to do it. Lord wouldn't have said that out of his mouth. Now, notice, this is in red. I mean, this came out of the Lord himself mouth. And he didn't tell you to just glide on it. He told you to strive. You know what it looked like when you strive. That means you running with everything inside of you. And you realize the running ain't enough. Sometimes you got to bend into it. Huh? You ain't never seen them runners and everybody's running at the same pace. In other words, my run ain't enough. I got to bend into this thing. I got to lean into this thing. Even if it means I hurt my body, I got to be willing to stretch out. Huh? So I can be the one that crossed the finishing line. Lord done told you many people start off running the race, but only one crossed the finishing line, right? You strive to be that one. Huh? Oh, yeah, I think sometimes we get a little complacent. We get a little relaxed in our salvation. We get a little careless in our approach with Jesus. We treat the Lord as though we're doing Jesus a favor. And when his word come forth, we want to argue with it. We want to debate it. And the Lord done told you, I told you a couple of weeks ago, the Lord's word is not to be compromised. He is trying to teach us a valuable lesson. The lesson of what? Learning how to submit. In other words, give over to Jesus, right? He is the authority figure, right? Give over to Jesus. Let his will be done in your life, right? There's no more I. Huh? Lord, don't care about how you feel. Every time you talk about, Lord, how I feel, Lord, say, look at me. Look at what I did to save you. Talk about feelings. Look at my feelings. I didn't want to go through the cross, but I endured it. And if he endured it, you got to endure it, right? Lord told you, endure hardness like a good soldier. I'm trying to prove to the Lord I'm on his battlefield. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on his battlefield. I'm fighting for Jesus. I'm a soldier. Don't y'all sing that song sometimes? I'm a soldier. Don't y'all realize you got to have your war clothes on? You got to have the full armor on. And you got to arm yourself with a mind to fight. Fight what? Fight the good fight of faith, right? Lay hold on eternal life, right? That's the truth. I see it. I see it. See a whole lot of people just being careless about this salvation, about this walk, about this relationship that they're striving to develop with Jesus. Huh? I'm trying to establish a connection with Jesus. And I don't want the flesh to break my connection. Huh? It's striving. Flesh is fighting you hard, trying to break your connection. But just as hard as it fights, you got to fight just as hard. You got to let the flesh know, say, no, you will not beat me. No, you will not defeat me. Why? Because I intend for my soul to be saved. Huh? I intend for my soul to be saved. I'm determined to be the few that Jesus is looking for, right? That's the truth. Strive to get in at the straight gate. For many, I say. Huh? Oh, yeah, look at those that started out with you. Look at those that started out with you. And look where they are. Huh? Look at where they are. Look at where they have gone. And you are just hanging on. Huh? You just hanging on. Some of you may be hanging on by a thread. But I'm telling you, you better pray that thread is enough to keep you in Jesus' come. Huh? Why? Because your soul is at risk. Huh? This thing ain't nothing to play around with. The Lord mean it when he say many. Y'all understand this? Look at how many people started out with you. And look at who's left. Huh? Look at who's left. And look at who the Lord has allowed to come on in and get into the race. And do you realize even these faces that you may see sitting beside you may not make it? Huh? They may not get in? Huh? That's enough to wake you up out of sleep. That's enough to make you say, I better rethink this thing. Maybe the Lord ain't playing with me. That's right. You better think about that thing. Maybe he means just what he said. Huh? Maybe he mean it when he tell you to strive. Strive to do what? Get in. He letting you know, Elder Scott, just because you in my church don't mean you got in. Huh? Come on, I'm in the church, but that don't mean you got in. You still got to live this life every single day. The Lord wake you up tomorrow. You got to be found in it. Found in it. Found in the work. Found living the life. Live it till when? Till he calls you by your name, right? One day the Lord is going to call and you're going to answer, right? And you got to give an account for the things you've done. What? That's something to think about, isn't it? In other words, you're going to have to answer for every cuss word you say. Oh, yes. You might have let them slip out, but you got to answer for it. Elder Scott, everybody make mistakes. You're going to have to give an answer for that mistake. Elder Scott, but they made me mad. You're going to have to give an answer for you allowing them to make you mad. I'm trying to tell you, is it worth your soul? Is it worth your soul? See, I just had to let them know what was on my mind. Go right ahead. But you're going to have to give an account for what you did in this body. I'm telling you, better let that cussing be replaced with some praise. You better learn to lift your head up and shout hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Come on, find a yes, Lord, in your soul. We sing that song, I've got another yes, Lord. Find a yes, Lord, in your soul, right? Yes to your Lord Jesus. Say, Elder Scott, I'm angry. Yes to your Lord Jesus. I don't feel like I can do it. Yes to your Lord Jesus. Find a yes in your soul, right? Not a yes to me, yes to the Lord. Because that's who you want to go back with. Yes to the Lord, right? Y'all realize, I don't care what they say about you at your funeral. I don't care what kind of casket they put you in. I don't care how they haul your body around the city. I don't care how many people come to your funeral. I don't care where they put your casket at when you die. What have you done in this body? Lord says, the only thing I'm looking for is your soul ready to go back with me when I come? Say, Elder Scudder, I'm a preacher. Certainly I'm ready to go back with Jesus. Oh, come on. Let's read a little bit more of this in the book of Luke. Luke chapter number. Yes. Yes. Yes, because they ain't got no power. How in the world are you talking about the Holy Ghost inside of you? And you don't even pray. You have no prayer service. You got a whole lot of Bible study, whole lot of revival, but no prayer service. Don't you realize? You ask yourself, how did you get the Holy Ghost? Say, I got the Holy Ghost calling on the name of Jesus. Well, then how do you think you're going to keep the power? You keep the power by calling on the name, right? You can't call on the name once a year, once a quarter, once a month. You need that name daily. Men ought always to pray. You need the name of Jesus daily. You should be calling on Jesus every day. Saints say it's time to get on your knees and pray. You should be glad. Because you can let that name ring out. You ain't got nothing to hold you back. See, on my job, I got to keep it quiet. I got to keep it to myself. Jesus, 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 Jesus. When I'm in the car, sometimes I can call him out loud, but sometimes people are with me, and I still got to keep his name quiet. But when the saints say it's prayer time, what do you think you need to do? You need to get on your knees and call Jesus. Open up your mouth and call him by his name, right? Why? Because his name is your power. His name is salvation. His name is your strength. You need to open up your mouth and call him by his name. Oh, yes, you need to call on the name of Jesus. You need to call him with everything inside of you.
Huh? Yes, Lord Jesus. You need to call him till your soul get a yes, Lord, inside of you. Huh? Call him till your soul get a yes, Lord. I like that. Call Jesus till your soul get a yes, Lord. In other words, whatever he feel like doing. Yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? Feel like quickening your body? Yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? Feel like taking control of your tongue? Yes, Lord Jesus, right? Call him till your soul get a yes, Lord Jesus. Don't stop calling his name until your soul finds a yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? What is it like when you receive the Holy Ghost? Your soul finds a yes, Lord. Huh? All you striving to get is to the point where your soul finds a yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, right? He get the move and you just want to say yes, Lord. Huh? Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? Get the shouting, yes, Lord Jesus. I don't want to stop. Yes, Lord Jesus. I don't want to stop moving. Yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? He bend you over like a pretzel. Yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? Yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? Yes, Lord Jesus. The tears start flowing. Yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? That's all you're trying to get is that soul to get to a yes, Lord Jesus. Get out of yourself and say yes, Lord Jesus. That's why you keep on calling his name. Keep on calling his name until that name connects with a yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? Or one day the name is going to connect with a yes, Lord Jesus. And I'm telling you, will never be the same. When your soul gets to the yes, Lord Jesus, and the name connects, you will never be the same, right? You will never be the same. Every time you say Jesus, your soul says yes, Lord. Huh? Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? Soul just say yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? You don't want him to stop. You don't want him to let you go. Why? Because you realize there's a power greater than you working in your soul. Huh? No matter how I feel, no matter what's going on in my life, I got a yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? I got a yes, Lord Jesus. And the name done connected with a yes, Lord Jesus. Huh? That's the truth. Yeah, you want to be able. Huh? You don't want the Lord to say, no, you're not able. Huh? Flesh tells you all day long, you're not able. I say, lift your hands up and call Jesus. Say, Jesus, Jesus. Flesh says, you know, you're not able to do that. But you got to be able. Huh? Your soul has got to be able. Why? Because you want to get up out of this earth, right? Oh, Lord, help me to find the strength to say, yes, Lord, to you. I'll put my flesh on the back burner. That's the truth. That's the truth. Keep reading a little bit more. That's the truth. Oh, come on, saints. Y'all understand that? You are not the master of your house. Huh? You didn't make yourself. Lord said, you are his. We are the workmanship of his hand. Huh? It is the Lord that hath made us, and not we ourselves. When the master gets up,
Jesus. He says, when he risen up and have shut to the door.
Oh, in other words, he shut the air out of you. Huh? He shuts the air. Do you realize one day, Lord going to shut the door to your lungs? Huh? Ain't no more air going to come in there. I don't care how much the doctors pump you. I don't care how much they medicate you. The master of your house has going to get up and shut the door. Huh?
Begin to stand with
us. Oh, come on.
And you're gonna knock.
In other words, the Lord is going to find you right where you are. That lets you know you better be ready. You better have something in your house. Huh? And it better not be sin. Huh? You better have something in your house. And it better not be sin. Because when he shut the door, judgment time. Huh? You got to give an answer for the things you've done in this house, right? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Whole lot of folks, the Lord done shut the door on them. And only they know what was in their house. Huh? Whole lot of preachers. Whole lot of teachers. Whole lot of singers. The Lord done shut the door on them. And they know they wasn't where they need to be at. You go back into history. They preach Jesus. They preach it. They say, oh, they live the holy and the sanctified life. Okay. Okay. I'm hearing what you're saying. But I'm looking at your schedule. I'm looking at your church schedule. And I don't see no prayer on the church schedule. I don't even hear the members talk about prayer during the week. I hear them talking about a whole lot of Bible study. I hear them talking about a whole lot of teaching. But where are they calling on the name of Jesus? We call on them during revival. Something's wrong with the house that you're in. You need to get out of that house. And you need to get to the house where the Lord is at. Huh? Lord said the house where he had put his name in. Huh? I thank the Lord for this church. Because this is a place where the Lord has put his name in. And we have not denied his name, right? We ain't denying the name of Jesus. We'll call Jesus every day of the week. Huh? And find nothing wrong with it. Why? Because the Lord's name is here. The Lord's name is right here. We don't got that kind of mind frame. We praying too much. Huh? Well, we prayed, y'all, we praying too long. We don't have that kind of mind frame. Not here. Because the Lord done already told us his house should be called a house of prayer. Huh? That's what Jesus said, right? He said, my house should be called a house of prayer. How do you pray? The Lord said, anything you want out of heaven, you got to use my name, right? Huh? You got to use my name. That's the only time you give me the glory, right? You got to use my name. So I thank the Lord. We get in here and we call on the name of Jesus. And we're still calling on the name of Jesus. Many people come in and say, oh, y'all doing it the old kind of way. It's not the old way. This thing is still fresh. Huh? We haven't abandoned the name. Huh? They go right on back where they was at, where they know wasn't nobody calling on the name. Something is wrong with your mind. Huh? Your mind is confused, right? You'd rather be in a house of confusion than a house that is called by his name. Huh? Well, y'all don't have all of the choirs like we got. That's okay. Y'all don't have all the musicians like we got. That's okay. How many people you got in your church? Well, we got a good 12. How many years you been up there? 26 years. And all you got is 12 people? That's all we got. Huh? Well, what were you doing? The same thing we did when we first came here. We preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. Huh? You ain't got no programs, no program needed. This is the Lord's church. Huh? What do y'all do? We get in here and we lift up the name of Jesus. We call him by his name. Huh? Some people, the name is not enough. Y'all understand that? Some people, the name is not enough. They find a looking for other things to do. And the devil will give you other things to do. But I'm trying to tell you, he will give you, you're going to bring yourself over to strong delusions where you're going to believe a lie rather than the truth. You realize it's a lie that takes you out to church. It's not the truth that takes you out. It's the lie. Why would the Lord call you to truth and have truth take you out? It's a lie that takes you out, right? It's a lie that takes you out. That's why you got to be careful who you listen to. Huh? Because there are many that sit up in here. Huh? That's what the Lord said. It is no marvel that Satan will take his seat right in the Lord's temple. And when he comes, he's not coming to bring truth. He's coming to spread lies. Huh? Lies and division. Huh? He's trying to divide the Lord's people. Huh? That's what the Lord said. I'm so glad I'm not like you. I'm so glad I was baptized by this person. I'm so glad I got the Holy Ghost up under this person. And not where the is Christ divided?
No.
Is Jesus to steal the name? Huh? We haven't changed how we say it. We still say Jesus. Huh? We still get on our knees and call Jesus. Now you can't find fault in me because your mind is all over the place. I'm trying to tell you, you will never receive anything until you get your mind straight. Huh? Your mind got to be on Jesus. Huh? That's the truth. Your mind is all over the place. You've allowed Satan to sit in your thoughts. Huh? And he's doing what he does. What does he do? He's the author of confusion. He's causing confusion. He's causing instability. Because you over here, you over there, you listening to this, you listening to that, you feeling this, you feeling that, and that's not the spirit you receive when you receive the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, the Lord said, peace. Huh? Peace be still, right? Be still, right? Are you coming over here? No. Why? Because I need to be still. Huh? Are you listening to this one? No. Because the Lord told me to be still. He gave me a pastor. He gave me a pastor to do what? Feed me already. So what do I need to eat from somebody else's table for? Everything I need to eat, my pastor will give it to me. Huh? And I just need to find a yes, Lord, down in my soul. Huh? Yes, Lord Jesus. Learn to be content. Learn to be content. Huh? Find it, find it, find it. Master going to rise up one day and shut the door. You're going to be the stand without. I'm trying to tell you, saints, don't be this kind of person. Don't be a person that stands without Jesus. I'm trying to tell you, when you get to the judgment, don't be that person that stands in the judgment without Jesus. You better have Jesus inside of you, right? I don't care what people say about you when you're dead. I don't care what they write about you in your obituary. I don't care how many bells and whistles they blow. Where will you be at when you stand before Jesus? And he looks your house over. Huh? Will he find his spirit residing in your soul? Huh? Holy Ghost is the Lord's spirit. Will he find his spirit residing in your soul? Holy Ghost is Christ in you. Will he find his spirit residing, abiding, dwelling in your soul, right? Or will you be standing there without?
Jesus.
Is that what the verse says?
That you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord.
Now, ain't that something? That let me know you know him. I'm trying to tell you it's not good enough to know Jesus. This person would not have called the Lord, Lord, if he didn't know him. But look at what, he ain't got nothing. Huh? That's a sad day to be at the day of judgment and know who God is and still be without, right?
Yes.
Calling Jesus what he is, Lord, Lord,
open to us.
Isn't that sad? That's why I tell you, saints, the Lord know who you are. You ain't got to go around convincing me.
That's right.
Huh? I'm not Jesus.
Right.
You ain't got to convince me you saved. You better know you saved for yourself. You better know the Holy Ghost is down inside of you for yourself. Why? Because you're going to die by yourself.
Now,
the scholar's not going to die with you. And even if we die in the same crash, I'm not going to see you. Now, old Elder Scott and his wife died together. That don't mean nothing. When you all realize when we die, we're going to be just like this. Standing before Jesus all by ourselves. Huh? I ain't going to look around and say, oh, come on, baby, hold my hand. You say, no, no, you got to stand before, you got to stand in front of me by yourself. Huh? You're going to be naked. Huh? You're going to be naked in such a way that the Lord, and I ain't talking about no clothes. See, that's what your mind, people's mind say when they talk about naked, that they're talking about clothes. No. In other words, the Lord is going to see your soul. Huh? The pureness of your soul is going to stand before Jesus. Your record, huh? Who you really are, is going to stand before Jesus. In other words, what are you talking about, who I really are? The resume of the wicked is in Romans chapter number 3. That is who they really are. Huh? But what was the Lord going to say about you? Who are you really, right?
Right.
Who are you? Huh? Who are you? Are you really a praiser? Are you really one that is grateful and appreciative of Jesus? Is your life a reflection of thank you, Jesus? Or is that something foreign to you? Is that something you say really rare? Is that not something you say all the time? Thank you, Jesus. Is that something that's real foreign to you? But the Lord's, your record is going to be right there. You're going to look for a thank you, Jesus. It's not going to be there. Why? Because you never took the time to say it during your life, right? Your lifetime was filled with purple and fine linen, right? With food, trying to get this, trying to get that, trying to go here, trying to go there. Huh? That's all that filled your life. I want to be able to say this about myself, say that about myself. But the sad thing is, none of your degrees, none of your vacation spots, none of your meal plans. The Lord said, I don't want to see none of that. Why? Because that all represents flesh. How about what about your soul, right? Some folk will be barren. They won't have nothing. No praise. No thank you, Jesus. Huh? No, Lord, I'm a witness for you. No soul that has been saved. Attached to you. Huh? That's why I'm working hard to get your name attached to me. I'm working hard to work with you. So that when you die and I die, Lord say, you work with that person. Huh? Oh yeah, the Lord said, I got to be give an account. That's what Jesus told about his preacher. Obey them that have the rule over you, but they watch for your soul, that they may do that with joy, as they must give an account for you. Huh? No, I'm not going to let you slip by this, because I got to give an account for you. Now, whether you do it or not, that's on you. At least when the Lord comes upon, I come upon these things. You did tell him.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
You did tell him. You did warn him. You did reproach them. Huh? Yeah, you did encourage them. Huh? But then you say, well, what happened to them? The Lord said, well, When I tried to work with you, you were none of my reproof received. Well, Lord, when did you speak to me? I spoke to you through that man. Huh? What man? Who you talking about? Stephen? You call him whatever you want to call him. You call him whatever you want to call him. You talking about that old bald-headed man? You call him whatever you want to call him. I spoke through him to you, right? And you were none of my reproof received, right? That's why I don't care. I don't matter what you call me. Say you call me up, don't call me up. It's going to call me Stephen, Brother Stephen. It don't even matter. It don't even matter to me. But you better listen to what I'm telling you. Because at the end of the day, it's not me that's telling you nothing. I don't know nothing about you. But Jesus knows everything. He dots every I and he crosses every T. In other words, he gets everything about. He don't leave no stone unturned. So when he giving you messages about repent, it ain't about saying, well, Scott, who are you talking to? I'm talking to you. Huh? Well, what do I need to repent from? I don't know. That's between you and Jesus. You better look yourself over, right? Well, I know I'm doing this. Nah, you're going to the wrong book. Go over to Romans chapter number 3. Look at the resume of the wicked. Oh, no, that ain't me. Yes, it is. Because the Lord is telling you to repent for something. Something on that list got your name on it. Nah, but I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Nah, he wouldn't tell you to repent from that. He would tell you to repent from Romans chapter number 3. Something you doing is not pleasing in his sight. He know you better than anybody else. These messages are not just given. It's a reason. The reason the Lord have us working on this new birth, the way he got it working on it. And he got us working on this word, repent. Huh? It's the reason why he's talking about a house that is without. Now, do you fall in that category? I don't know. You better look yourself over. Do you have Jesus inside of your house? And if he's not there, then you are a house without.
And I'm telling you, don't wait till then to cry, Lord, Lord. Get on your knees and call him now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Get on your knees and humble yourself before Jesus now. And say, Lord, please come on in the inside. Huh? Please come on the inside. And when you come in, let's shut the door behind you. Because I don't want you to leave my house. Huh? Come on, saints. Those that got the Holy Ghost, have you shut the door behind you? Shut the door behind you. Once Jesus get in, shut the door behind you. You don't want Jesus to leave your house, right? He said, well, I'm not comfortable. Lord, what will make you comfortable? This is going on in here, and I don't like, well, let's get it out. You stay, Jesus. Let's get that out. Because that's not making my Jesus comfortable. And at the end of the day, I need Jesus to be comfortable. I need him to be happy staying in my house. Else, you're going to be standing there, what, without? Huh? You can give the Lord all the dumb-looking faces you want. Who, me? Yeah, you. You ain't got no Jesus in you. Start crying. At, oh, but Lord said, you crying at the wrong time. Huh? We don't know that side of Jesus. We know that side of the Lord. When we cry, he come and answer. But do y'all realize there's another side of Jesus that don't care about no tears? Huh? See, the rich man found the other side of Jesus. Because he was in hell crying. Huh? He was in hell asking for relief. But did Jesus answer him? No. No, Lord didn't even utter a word to him. Say, well, who was that talking to him? That was Abraham. That wasn't no Jesus. Was Jesus talking through Abraham? No. Lord said, I ain't got nothing else to say to you. Lord said, if you ain't going to believe me while you're in the land of the living. That's when he said they got the prophets. Huh? They got those. If you don't believe me in the land of the living, don't look for me to talk to you in the place of death. That's the truth, isn't it? Amen. Don't look for the Lord to talk to you in the place of death. When he's giving you the opportunity to listen to him. While you're in the land of the living. Huh? That's the true sense. You're going to stand there without finishing up, baby.
And knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Yeah. He shall say, answer, say unto you, I know you not.
That's where I'm concerned with. Mm-hmm. I don't want the Lord to look at me and say, I don't know who you are.
Right.
That's got to be the worst feeling.
Yeah.
To do all of this and the Lord look at you and say, I don't know who you are.
Right.
In other words, I could have preached Jesus for years. Mm-hmm. I could have sung about Jesus for years. And then the Lord say, when I stand before him, I don't have him on the inside. But I was shouting down there, Lord, you didn't see me. I was feeling you. The Lord said, you wasn't feeling me. I don't know what spirit was in you. But you know and I know you didn't have no Jesus.
Amen.
You know you didn't have no Jesus and Jesus know you ain't got no Jesus. How you going to tell me I ain't had the Holy Ghost? How in the world you going to have the Holy Ghost and you don't even call on his name? I don't even want to hear nothing else you got to say. Tell me the last time you had a good prayer service calling on Jesus. Oh, we had a revival last month. You ain't got no Holy Ghost. You ain't got no Holy Ghost. Ain't no way in the world you could survive having Jesus and you ain't call on him in a whole month. Something is wrong. That's like you, how can you survive without water for a whole month? Food for a whole month. You going, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Nah, you ain't got no hallelujah in you, nothing. You are without. You're just not being honest with yourself. You are without. There's no way in the world Jesus could be in you and moving. You ain't got on your knees at all. In a whole month. And I'm not talking about sitting on the side of the bed saying some night prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray. Nah, man, you need to call on Jesus. You ain't get the Holy Ghost saying, now I lay me down to sleep. You got the Holy Ghost calling on the name of Jesus with much sweat and tears, right? I say my prayers. Nah. Mm-mm. We ain't talking about that.
Not right.
That's not what we're talking about. Yeah, my wife do that. She get on her knees. She don't say, I don't know what she'd be saying, but she get on her knees and she'll pray. And I look over and sometimes I look at her and say, thank the Lord for her. That ain't the prayer that's going to keep her saved. Y'all understand that? That ain't going to keep her into the kingdom. She need to call on Jesus. Y'all understand that? I know sometimes we get down there and we just be quiet and we just talk. Lord, I thank you for the day. I thank you for everything you've done for me. I thank you for my family. Thank you for all the ways you've made, the doors you've opened. That's not going to get you into the kingdom. It's nice that you do that, but that did not save you. How did you get saved? You didn't get the Holy Ghost saying that. You got the Holy Ghost calling on the name of Jesus. And how are you going to keep it? You got to call on the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Folks think that calling on Jesus just for people that's trying to receive the Holy Ghost. No. You trying to keep it. You need the same price you paid to get it is the same price you got to pay to keep it.
That's right.
All right. Read a little bit more.
Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten
and drunk in your presence. Isn't that something? So that let me know these folk was in the church. They knew the presence of the Lord. But the Lord said, don't forget the phrase. The phrase that pays. The phrase that I know you not. Huh? Come on, let's look at it. They called them all the right stuff. Lord, Lord. Jesus, I don't know who you are. I ate in your presence. I drank in your presence. I don't know who you are. In other words, they were teachers. They was able to teach people about Jesus. But don't forget the phrase. Jesus says, I know you not.
Know you not which ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of
iniquity. What did the Lord call them? Isn't that saying? So they had something in them.
Yeah.
The Lord called without. Sin was in them. But he said sin's value was zero. So he said that they were without something. So even though you die in your sin, you say, well, I got folk are dying full of sin. But the value of it is zero. You ain't got nothing that's worth anything. As I tell you, don't search after riches. Don't search after fame and fortune. Because the value of that stuff is zero. It means nothing. At the end of the day, the Lord don't care what car you drive in, what house you live at, what suit you wear, whether your suit is tailor-made or hand-me-down. Lord don't care nothing about that. All he cares about is your soul. Your soul has got to be right with Jesus. I know I see all your pretty hairdos. He don't care about your scalp. You could be bald headed for Jesus. Just let your soul be saved.
That's right. That's right.
You say, well, I got my hair flowing all down my back. That don't mean nothing to Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going back to the dirt. Oh. All of it. All of it. All of it. That's something to think about, isn't it? We spend all our days, and I'm not telling you not to have nice hair. You all look real pretty. But I'm trying to tell you, don't let that be the sum of who you are. The value of it in front of Jesus is zero. It looked good to you, but to Jesus is zero. The only thing he worried about is your soul. Huh? Something to think about, isn't it? So don't put too much into that, and very little into your soul. Say, God, I can't get on my knees out today. I want to sweat. Well, hell is out. I'm trying to tell you, you better get out of yourself now. Hell is out. Hell is out. You're gonna be there a long time. You're gonna be doing something, doing more than sweating. Come on, what else did he say? We drunk in your, eating your presence.
Yes.
And taught in your streets. You read all of that. I'm sorry. Yes. Verse number 28.
That there shall be weeping.
Yeah. Isn't that something? Yes. You don't want that, saints. You don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want that. You don't.
You shall see Abraham and Isaac
and Jacob. And all the prophets. Where are they going to be at? You going to be in hell. But where are they going to be at?
In your
huh? You ain't going back with Jesus. You got to do everything you can do to be pleasing in the Lord's sight. So you got to make sure, saints, when we're telling you, giving you a message about repent, do what it says. Stop all that wrong. If you know it's not pleasing to Jesus, just stop it. Don't say, well, I'm trying. You got to get past trying. You need to stop it. Bring an end to it. Well, it was it. Well, it's just so hard. I'm trying to tell you, you better find the will to bring an end to it. Because the path that you're on is a path that leads to death. And you have to say, do you want to die? Ezekiel asked you, why will you die? Do you want to die? When all you got to do is turn and come to Jesus and you can live. I got family members right now struggling with all kind of foolish stuff. All in their bodies. And they refuse to come to the Lord. They say, well, you don't feel bad. How am I going to feel sorry for you? How am I going to feel sorry for you when you already know what you're supposed to do? Look like to me I dragged my sick self in here. Amen. And asked Jesus for mercy. I'm sorry. It's the truth. At the end of the day, you know what you need to do in order to be saved. It's not like you have not felt his presence before. It's not like you don't know what you're supposed to do. It's no different than them folk that got them guns walking around playing vigilantes all during the night and during the day. Just shooting at one another. It ain't like that. I don't have no, say, well, be merciful to them. What you going to be merciful for? They know what they're doing is wrong. They know what they're doing is wrong. And it's an unfortunate reality. You have children sitting up here dying in the streets. Day in and day out. Because people don't have enough sense to be obedient. But a day of reckoning is coming. I'm sorry, a day of reckoning is coming. You're going to look for the Lord and you're not going to find him. You're going to see Jesus in the way you don't want to see him. People think this coronavirus was something. This is nothing. This is nothing. When the Lord pours out his wrath, there's nothing you and I can do about it. You saw that building come down on them folk down there. That was the Lord pouring out his wrath. And he's doing it over and over again. And people would none of the Lord's reproof receive. And not one time do you see anybody crying out to the Lord. Not one time do you see people somewhere crying out, Jesus, spare. Jesus, have mercy. Nowhere. Our minds are messed up. We done gotten to this point that we just throw Jesus just to the side. And we don't think that the Lord is upset with that. We don't think we're hurting Jesus' feelings. When he know he the one made you. And he knows he's showing you something. And when you see the thing that he shows you, you don't even pay the attention that it's due. You got these arrogant attitudes. It ain't me. Oh, it ain't me. You, I ain't worried about it. Ain't got nothing to do with me. We all going to die. your day is coming. Your day is coming. And I'm telling you, when you stand before Jesus is trying to tell you, you ain't going to take it all cocky like that. You're going to be doing a whole lot of cry, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. They ain't got no teeth. You're going to find them that day. You're going to be gnashing your gums then. Something you're going to be gnashing according to Jesus. Something you're going to be gnashing according to Jesus. In other words, it ain't going to be a day of relaxation and fun. It's going to be a day of torment. And how long am I going to be there? Forever. And you will never get you. Do y'all realize a rich man today is still not used to hell? And you ask yourself, how long ago did he die? He still is not used to hell. He is still crying out today at this moment. Hell is feeling just as fresh as it was the day he got down there. But that's a long time, isn't it? I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus, over 2,000 something years ago, he was on the earth. And talking about the rich man, over 2,000 years has passed. And he is still in hell. And how long is he going to be there? The scripture done told you forever and ever. He's not getting out. When we have an opportunity to get off that road of death to get off that path that leads to destruction. And run. Honey, I said run. With everything inside of you to get way into the straight gate. Lord uses that word strive to get in there. Everything inside of you, saints. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anything sidetrack you. Your goal is to go back with Jesus. Jesus has put you in a place where you need to be at to get your soul right with him. Huh? That's the truth, saints. I'm trying to tell you. He put you in a place where you can, where you need to be at to get your soul right with him. Take full advantage of this opportunity. Do not fall victim like the so many. Many people have come in. Bishop, can I tell you a many of them? So many she can't even count them on one hand, two hands, three hands. That have walked with her. And none of them, zero, are here today. I mean, I'm saying here, they're in the land of the living, but they ain't in the church. So what good is it for you to be running, 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 and then turn your back on Jesus? There's no value in that. There's no value in that, saints. So don't you be one of the many. Don't you fall victim to the traps and the trickery of Satan, okay? We want you to be victorious. I want you to go back with the Lord when he comes. And I encourage you all, if you find things in you that's not right, do something with it. Repent. Get rid of it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Okay? Your soul depends on it. Trust you got something out of the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus' name. We definitely thank the